You, I think Amala put the video together, so I want to say thank you to Amala for doing that for us. And I want to start out by just talking about a little bit about Kids Camp. I get the privilege of kind of heading it up, and I love Kids Camp so much. That week means so much, I think, to our workers that all come, to me personally, to all the help that goes into it, the other churches that come. And I want to say thank you, Pastor, for letting us do it. He's always backed us, supported us with it. And thank you, church, for being behind it and supporting it. We had about 75 kids come this year, and probably about 30, 35 workers as well. Of course, not all of them are here tonight, but I don't even want to start trying to name everyone that came and helped because I know I'll forget people. But a few people that I want to say thank you to. First, Dallas Brown came and preached for us. He's back on furlough for this year. Got him to come and preach. And it's such an honor when I can have one of my best friends come and preach at Kids Camp, and somebody that did it before I did. And so I learned a lot of what we do at Kids Camp from him. Sometimes some of the things we don't do at Kids Camp, I learned not to do because of him as well. And that's just kind of the way it works. But he came and preached. And as we were leading up to it, I was talking to him. He's like, I don't know, I hadn't preached to kids in a long time. Not in English either. So he said he's been in Africa for the last 4 years, serving there as a missionary. And just be praying for him this year while they're on furlough and as they go back to Africa. He's not in a super safe area of Africa, but having known Dallas for the years that I've known him, it kind of fits him being somewhere that's not safe. And then along with that, I want to thank Brother Keith Hamilton, pastor at Forest Hills at Mountain View. He actually drove for us this year, and his wife ended up needing like an emergency surgery, and so he actually drove up there, drove back down, drove back up there, and drove us back. Like, I was thinking in the middle of camp, I might have to figure out a way for us to get a bus driver up here and come home. But he did that for us, and I appreciate it. And Brother Victor Huff from over at Victory, he came and he did all my video and pictures, and he just does an awesome job with it. We had 5 kids accept Christ as their Savior at camp, which makes it more than worth the money, time, effort, everything we put into it. And a real quick story on one of those kids that did. He ended up, I had a kid literally the night before we're leaving for camp, I mean probably at like 7:30 at night, sign up to come to camp. And he comes to camp, goes through the entire week, and it's actually on the bus ride back home, talks to a counselor, and accepts Christ as his Savior. So not only did he come really at the last minute to camp, but really the last minute of camp, he also accepted Christ as his Savior. And that's why the churches will ask me, like, well, when's your cutoff? I said, as long as we have room, we're going to take somebody. It doesn't matter. As long as we have room, we'll take them. And so I'm thankful for what Lord did at Kids Camp this year. Thank you for all the workers that came. And then VBS as well went smooth this year. Thank you to all the workers that came, the leaders of all the different areas. Like I said, I can't start naming names with that either because I will forget people like crazy because there's just so many people that play a part in it. But I want to thank the teachers, Brother Bill and Miss Jody, for doing it. It's such a relief not having to wonder what the preaching time, if it's going to be what it needs to be or not. It helps me a lot be able to go in different areas and help in different areas when I don't have to worry about what's happening during the message time. And through crafts, through lessons, through singing, all of that, everybody plays such a big part, and it really makes the week of VBS a lot easier when it's not just relying on a couple of people, but it's relying on a big group. And for all those that worked in VBS, I just want to say thank you. It couldn't happen without you. And thank you, because the impact that's going to be made on those kids' lives, we probably won't know until we get to heaven. But I can tell you that an impact was made on their lives. So, church, I just want to end by saying thank you for always supporting us, Thank you for always helping, volunteering, giving, everything that goes into it. I just want to say thank you.
All right. Now we'll have some, open up for some testimony from any of the adult workers, college age or teenagers, whoever. Obviously, I'd love for some of my, you know, the older ones to kind of go first, get the ball rolling. So who would like to come on down, so to say?
Hey, guys. Y'all get to hear from me one more time tonight. I'm not going to sing again, though. That was a little rough. So at 3 o'clock, I show up, and they're like, you're going to sing the parts. And I said, okay. I think this summer was the summer I turned to prayer, which is kind of funny because my entire senior year in Sunday school, that is all we talked about with Miss Sarah. I mean, we went detail to detail about how you're supposed to pray and what's the right way to do things. So to make it like a long story short, June is when we went on our Bible retreat. So a few months before, I was really struggling with bitterness. I was so bitter about so many things in life. It didn't matter what it was. I can't cry. And I had this friend message me from school, and he said, hey, I'm getting baptized. Will you come watch me get baptized? And I was like, of course. So I go at the beginning of June, and I watch him get baptized, and I'm just standing there. And all I could, like, I was just filled with emotion. And all I could think was, 6 months ago, you told me you weren't saved. You knew you weren't saved. You didn't care that you weren't saved. And here you are, and I'm watching you get baptized. So that was amazing. And then the preacher preaches a sermon. It was a great sermon. And then we're leaving church, and we stop, and we see a friend we hadn't seen in a while, and she was just talking to us about how she got into church. And she was saying that she needed to raise her kids in church, and she knew that. And so she took her kids to church, but her husband wouldn't come. And so just like she was telling us all these things that had happened between trying to get her husband to come. And so at the end of it, she said, well, if you ever come back, look for me, because we all come together, and we all love it, and he comes with us every Sunday now. And so I was like, that's really cool. And so then something else happened that day with some friends, and my parents were able to talk to them and help them get through this thing. And it all lined up with exactly what the preacher preached that Sunday. And I was like, that's crazy. I mean, this is morning to night, and I'm like, this is not even 24 hours. This is insane. So I lay down that night to go to bed, and I look up at my ceiling, and I start praying, and I go, God, why don't you do this more often? Like, this is such a cool day. And I mean, clear as day. He spoke right to me, and he said, Ella, I do this, but you're so full of bitterness, and you're so full of hatred, and so many things that you won't even notice anything I'm doing outside of you. You are only looking at you. And I was like, oh, that hurt. And so I was like, okay. I wasn't going to go on a Bible retreat because I was bitter, and who wants to be around God when you're bitter? And so after some conversations with some people, I decided I was going. Funny, because that Bible retreat was focused on prayer. And so I got to talk about this on our retreat, so they've already heard this, but it was so cool how everything lined up. Senior year was prayer. This was all about prayer and all these things that God does. And so I was like, okay, I'm going home and I'm going to keep praying. And I did, and I keep praying. And so then we leave for Teen Extreme, and there were two really, really big things that my family was praying for. My dad's surgery, and for my sister's boyfriend to get saved. That was all we wanted. His surgery went well, and it's Thursday night, and we have the last service at camp, and nothing changes with Jackson. And so I'm like, okay, God, I mean, I know that you can do it. If it's not now, it will come, and I know you can. And I just kept praying that God would just pull on his heartstrings just to do it. So I wake up Friday morning, and he had texted me, and he was like, hey, are you awake? Because I've been trying to get a hold of Megan. Can you wake her up? And so I'm like, no, but I'll wake her up. So by the time we're loading up in the vans, Megan comes back and she just hugs me. She goes, Ellie, he got saved last night. God did it. And I was like, that is amazing. Because all we did was pray and pray and pray every single day. So if you ever think that God's not working, he is. Just focus on him. You'll see it. And it was this summer that I decided I want to pray every day of my life because I want to be a part of all of the little things. I want to be a part of everything he does because it is so, so cool, the things that he does. So thank you for making that a part of my summer. Thank you for allowing me to go on these trips because this summer was insane and I loved it. Thank you.
thank you very much, but we're going to keep that a hush. But so as everyone knows, I didn't grow up in a youth group. And if I would have met you, let's say 8-10 years ago, I wouldn't think I'd be standing here before you. The Lord has worked in very, very many ways in my life, and all glory to Him. Being able to meet Chad and, of course, Rachel. And the Lord just opening the door for me to be able to start kind of hanging out with Chad and to be able to see these teens and stuff and just start helping out with them. And I may not have got to be part of a youth group when I was younger, but I am now, I can say, thankfully. Glory to God and also Chad, where the Lord knew where what I was missing then, I'm on the other side now. But I get to see these young adults every day, and like I told someone today, it's a blessing of a day because there's no place I would rather be than in church and with these teens. And it's just an amazing thing to be able to build these relationships and see how the Lord works in their lives. And I don't deserve it. The Lord has just blessed me beyond belief, and I look forward to many more trips and just to continue. And Chad, I don't know how you do it, building these relationships over and over and over throughout the years and just keep going, because I just want to pick a group and just hang on to them as tight as I can. But it's not how it works. We just got to keep going. I'm blessed with every single one of them, and I'm just grateful to be helping out with them. So thank you.
So I'm going to start with, I've been at Corn. Well, first of all, I'm thankful for my salvation. I love the Lord. I love what He's done in my life. I've been at Corinth for about 7 years now. And when me and my sister first joined, we were here for a little while together. And then I was like, I don't know. And so then I left. And Pastor Tom actually came to my house. And he was like, hey, give it 6 months. Give it 6 months. And if then you still feel like you need to go somewhere else, then go. I did not come back. I actually stayed away for 6 months, and then I came back. I think it was a Christmas play that my aunt was putting on, and she asked me if I would come and be a part of it, and my membership was still here. So I was like, okay, I'll help. And then that's just where it all started. I've been serving since, and then a couple months later, I remember Pastor Tom called me and asked me if I'd be the secretary. And so I've been the secretary since then. And it's just been such a blessing. And I love serving here. I love my church. It has opened many doors for me that I never would have thought. The Lord has just blessed me with my husband here and my kids. And it's a joy to watch these young kids serve, because I have my own kids that will eventually hopefully be in their place and serving. And I love serving in camp. I love serving VBS. It's such a joy to watch kids learn and experience the joy of Jesus, really, and the relationships that they build with each other. So I'm thankful for my church family. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my name is Levi Starkey, and I'm sure not everybody knows who I am. I grew up in this church. My parents have been here even before I was born. Talking to Hope, we're getting married later this month, and we were talking about houses, and in case no one knows, in the state of Georgia, housing is not cheap at all. So, doing the rightful thing, I started looking all over the South to find a place. So, I found a nice cheap house in Mississippi. And I showed Hope this house, and it's a beautiful house, and $250,000, cheap in comparison to Georgia. And I showed Hope this house, and the first thing she told me was, is Corinth Baptist Church going to be out there? I looked at her. I said, no. She said, then we ain't going. Point of me saying that is me and Hope both love this church. We have been embraced by this church, and y'all love us, and we've grown up here, and I've thought of a lot of y'all as uncles and aunts and grandparents to me, and y'all have been so good to us. But and I'm so happy, and me and Hope are, to be serving at this church. We went both to the youth retreat, kids camp, and VBS, and just wonderful times. This next year, hopefully, Stephen will bring Dramamine in the van with the kids, because driving to Pigeon Forge and all those windy roads, those kids get sick. And I had the wonderful opportunity of riding the van with the kids. But the good part about that, and I'm so glad I rode the van with the kids that year, was the young man who had registered for kids camp very late. He had been kind of bullied and had a lot of things going on. And Marshall had called me to the back of the bus, and you know, I sat with a kid, and I talked to him, and he was crying, of course. And you know, I had the wonderful opportunity to just ask him, you know, hey, what's going on and stuff. And he told me what was going on, and I mean, he really went into details and stuff, and he really had a very, very rough family life and just horrible, terrible things. And if I'm correct, I believe his grandfather had just passed away, and his grandfather was a pastor. And it hurt me. It hurt me sitting there talking to him. And he told me this, and I'll never forget these words. He said, I will never get saved because my grandfather was supposed to save me. Those are chilling words, and those are words I could never get out of my head. And I knew right then and there I was not leaving that van until we talked this through. So, I mean, it took 15 minutes, and we were talking and talking and talking and talking. I said, look, buddy, I said, I think your grandfather would want nothing more for you to be saved. That's got to be the most important thing. And after a continuous conversation with him, and you can just see the battle, we were about 1 hour away from home. Just 1 hour from that kid going home and never being saved. Finally, he gave his life to the Lord. I am so happy to know that kid. And I mean, He sometimes still comes here, and I love seeing him still here. But God has done amazing things this year. I thank you for y'all's support. I thank you for Stephen for allowing me to be at Kids Camp, Brother Chad for allowing me to preach, and Pastor, thank you for letting me serve in all these ministries. Thank y'all, church.
Good evening, church. My name is Jared Starkey. That's my brother, Levi. No, I'm not almost married, so I'm still working my way there, I guess. You know, I used to think when I was younger that if I get older, maybe it'd be easier speaking in front of people. And well, right now I'm trying to figure out if my heart is in my throat or my throat is in my heart right now. I'm shaking so bad. But I'm going to try my best. I'm not going to say as much as I can, so... to start this off, I want to say thank you to the church. If y'all don't know, I was just in college. Crown College, it's up in Tennessee. It's a wonderful college. If it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't have been able to go back a second semester, so thank y'all so much. The first thing I went to this summer with the youth group was the youth retreat, and that was fun. We got, I think Brother Chad got what you call a verbo, or do any of y'all call it a VRBO? Because I know my parents do. I think Brother Chad called it that. I looked at him weird when he called it that. I call it a verbo. But he got one of those, and it was like a horror film. You know, it was like one of those scary cabins. Well, it was the first day, like an hour into being there. And I went downstairs in the basement, and there's some recliners, and I guess that was where we were sleeping. So I opened one of the arms on the recliners. And it had like a small purse inside there. And we found someone's license, social security card number, checks, and all that stuff. Debit cards, credit cards, all you can think of. And well, I thought, well, this is really interesting. So I brought it up to Brother Chad for him to look at it. And he's like, you know, I did hear that the owner's wife did just pass away. So the whole trip there kind of felt like it was a little haunted, you know, like someone was just there. Air was a little cooler, you know, just that type of stuff. So it was giving everyone the heebie-jeebies while we were there. Besides that, it was a fun trip. That's where I learned the most important thing this summer, which was prayer time. Prayer time is really important, especially if we want a closer relationship with Christ. If y'all need help with prayer life, please go to Brother Chad, and he will teach you some pretty good stuff about that. We had some other people preach then about prayer. Did you preach, right? And then Leah preached. Leah's was really good. Austin preached. JW preached. It was all really good. Just a good weekend. After that was, that was summer camp or kids camp. Kids camp was fun. That really teaches you patience with kids, because they're just full of joy and excitement. And I love the kids, and they'll love you if you have a backpack full of candy. Summer camp was great. I was a half counselor, half, games crew this year. So I was able to set up games and play games with the kids. It was just fun. The next thing after that was Teen Extreme, a camp in Pensacola. What happened there? I got to see all the different youth groups. I mean, there's like maybe 1,000 people there. I'm not too sure. But there's a lot of people there. And then you can see all the teen groups and churches. And that week, I really learned and like saw that our youth group is a really great youth group, and how proud I am of our youth group, and how grateful I am and blessed to have the youth group I am in, and the church and everything. It's just great. So I want to thank all of y'all again for everything that y'all do. If it wasn't for y'all, if it wasn't for Brother Chad, Pastor Tommy, Stephen, any of y'all, this youth group wouldn't be a thing, and I wouldn't be where I am now. So thank y'all so much.
Hi, church. My name is Abigail Cochran. I went to kids camp this year as a counselor. I had done that previously as just like a CIT. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then Stephen comes to me and he's like, hey, you want to be a lead counselor? Sure. That sounds fun. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. That was so much work. That was so much stress. Talk about like learning to trust in God. I had Sophie Reed as one of my CITs, and I had Dorn Shoes to Fill as the lead counselor. Dorn was great, got me all the red team supplies she had, left me with great advice. I had Tara and I had Casey to lead me, but it was so stressful. I didn't know what I was doing. I watched them do it for years, but I didn't understand the thought process behind doing it, the strength it took to do it, you had to be in charge of yourself, 3 younger counselors, and however many children Stephen assigned you, plus the guy counselors, because they can't do anything by themselves. Even the lead guy counselors, they need help sometimes. It was great. It was an awesome week. I had amazing people around me. We sang, we danced, we played games, we worshiped God. And I had to really, really lean into trusting God that week, because it came time for our one-on-ones where we sit down after the lesson time with the children and we kind of recap what we talked about. And that's where you like really hit salvation. And I was like, okay, I can do this. But what about my other girls? Because I'd only had like one girl that had done it before. I was like, I don't know. I gotta try to teach them, but also pay attention so I know what questions to ask for these kids. I gotta make sure I know how to lead a kid to salvation. How do I make sure that my girls know how to do that? And then Reagan Lawrence, who attends Victory, she was like my second in command. I had to leave to go help another counselor with something. When I come back, She's got the kids sitting down on the ground. They all have their notebooks out. They're looking at the Bible verses. They're talking about everything. She's got a salvation storyline going over here. She's got Bible verses over here. They're memorizing scripture. Like, she had it all under control. And that was only day two. So I don't know what I was worrying about, because my girls did great. It was a big hurdle for me that I had to get over, and it was a lot of pride that I had to get over, but God really helped me see that if I just leave it to Him, He'll take care of it, even in the little things such as that. But if you ever want to serve in kids camp, that is the best week of my life. I love it so much, and I've never grown closer to God than when I'm at kids camp, which sounds crazy because you're running off of 4 hours of sleep, but it's great. Chug a Dr. Pepper, you'll be fine. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for allowing us to go and serve. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Okay, so I'm going to piggyback off a little bit of what Ella said with the prayer route and kind of just how my prayer life led up to what it is right now this summer. So back in October, I met my now boyfriend, and we started talking, started hanging out. I realized I kind of liked him, and my little sister asked him one day, Jackson, are you saved? And he looked at her and said, no. And that's kind of when I was like, I'm going to get this kid saved. Like, I'm going to bring him to church. He's going to come to all the events with me, and he's going to get saved. Because if he leaves my life, it's going to be saved. I'm not going to be the girlfriend that he breaks up with, and he goes off and does the worldly things. So fast forward to the Bible retreat. I've been praying a lot about, just over from October to June, I've just been praying a lot about him, and it turned into less about always just being him and into being about him and about me being a better person and praying for my family and praying for just everything going on. And so praying about him turned into praying about everything. And then at the Bible retreat, he asked Chad about the rapture. And I went home that night and I told my dad and my mom about it. And I said, I think God's planting a seed in him. And I think that him asking about the rapture is a really good thing. I think that's a good sign. I think that he's going to get saved this summer. I told another boy in the youth group that PCC, the camp we went to, is a really good camp. It really gets you just spiritually high. Like, you always feel so connected to God there. And I told him that I think PCC is going to be really good for him. So at PCC, the night before, like Ella said, my whole family got together and we started praying. We prayed for my dad. We prayed for Jackson. We prayed for a couple other things. I think Abigail went first. Deuce went. And it got to be my turn, and I couldn't even get any words out. I just sat there for what felt like forever. It was probably only like 5 seconds, but I just sat there crying, trying to think of what to say, and I prayed about my dad, I prayed about Jackson, I prayed for our safety, and then every time that the preacher at camp would mention salvation, I would say a quick prayer and just say, help him to get saved, like, let him hear this, really speak to him about this, like, I know what the preacher's saying right now is his situation. Like, the preacher got saved when he was 17, and I was like, Lord, he's 17. Like, make him realize, hey, I'm 17, so is he. Like, just something silly like that. And it got to be Thursday night, and I was walking back. It was me and Kinley. We were walking back to our dorms that night. The boys are on the whole opposite side of the campus. I already said goodnight to Jackson. We were walking back, and I looked at her, and I said, I don't think it's going to happen. I said, I really felt God telling me that it was going to happen this week and that this was the week he was going to get saved. I don't think it's going to happen. And she told me that God always has a plan, and that night the preacher had preached about God's will, and that if it was God's will, he would get saved. So I go to bed that night. I was really tired, and I don't think that I told Jackson, like, goodnight over text. I think that I just went, like, straight to sleep. And my phone, I was sleeping on the top bunk. My phone fell through the crack, and it hit Ella on the head. And then she woke up, and that next morning she was looking at my phone. It was going off, and it was a bunch of texts from Jackson saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. And she said, and I quote, Megan, I'm going to kill you if you didn't answer him. And he saved. So I'm packing up that night to go, or that morning to go home, and I'm folding my sheets, and I'm on the ground crying, saying, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. I couldn't say anything but please, Lord. That was the only thing I could get out. And I just sat there silently crying. He said we were going to go meet at breakfast, and I just sat there crying, saying, please, please, please. And I got to breakfast, and he said, do you want to hear my good news? And I said, yes. And again, I just said, please, Lord, please, Lord. And he looked at me, and he just, I got saved last night. And I just started crying into my yogurt. And I think one of the counselors there thought we broke up because I was just sitting there crying, and he was just staring at me like I was crazy. But then I went to the counselor. It was his counselor. And we met at the boys' dorm. And I hugged his counselor, and I said, thank you. Because there were two other boys that got assurance of their salvation that night. And the counselor, knowing that Jackson wasn't saved, said, come with me. And Jackson went with him, and he ended up getting saved. And it was just, it was that whole week just praying for him. That whole, from October to July, just praying for him turned into praying about anything. And it really helped my prayer life too. And just the whole experience that summer, it wouldn't have happened without y'all paying everybody's way to go. So thank you guys.
Good evening, church. My name is Marshall, and I got the opportunity to go to kids camp and teen camp. This is my first time being a counselor at kids camp, and it was like a great experience just being hands-on with the kids and seeing, like, because I used to be them, and, like, I know what they're thinking, and like when, like, at nighttime after the services and we're talking about Salvation Heart, I can like imagine like when I was in their shoes and like what I was thinking in those moments just really like gave me, like, I guess the encouragement to like talk to them about salvation and things. And on the last night, there's one kid at our church that comes on Wednesdays. His name's Solomon, and he raised his hand and said he didn't know if he was saved, so I went and talked to him about it, and he accepted Jesus as a Savior that night, and that was the first kid that ever led to the Lord.
Amen.
And it was just a great being, like, with Cole Lawrence, who was my head counselor, just, like, great mentor to me, telling me things that, like he had it, like, being his age and how kids camp and, like, serving God was, like, a very important, like, now in his life, even when he was a teen, and now him being youth pastor at Victory and telling me how that could be me and like that I could serve the Lord like him. Just a great mentor that week. And at teen camp, I think it was just a great week of fellowship with my youth group, just seeing like how close we are, getting closer to them, and just like Jackson getting saved was it was a great week. And just thank you for letting us be able to go on all these trips.
Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Saxon Colball. And first, I just want to say thanks to the Lord for, saving me. And thanks a lot to Brother Chad. He's played a big role in bringing me closer to the Lord. But I didn't grow up. I grew up in the area. I went to Lawrenceville Church of God. And for a lot of you know Johnny Cash, amazing singer. My grandpa preached over at Lawrenceville Church of God, and he actually baptized Johnny Cash. And I never met him, but a lot of people say that he was a good man. And so, I grew up a Christian all my life. Went to church. I got saved at a young age, probably about 7, in my bedroom with my parents. But I kind of questioned it, and then I went. Brother Chad asked me to come to his church because he goes to our gym. And so I went there. I went to a church camp when I was a kid, and I was just kind of questioning it. And he made me do a prayer, and I prayed to the Lord and accepted him because I didn't really feel like I had accepted him or was living in ways. But even after that, I was still living kind of sinfully. Like at school, I was trying to fit in with my friends and you know, is using dirty language, is just not really living for the Lord. And so this summer I had a chance to go to the Bible retreat, and I feel like the Lord really slapped me in the face and convicted me that weekend. And so we were over there, and they were just always preaching about prayer life and, you know, being like quiet with the Lord and have your quiet time. And there's two things that I prayed about while I was over there, and it was my relationship with God. One big thing that I realized is you don't, when you're praying to Him, you don't sugarcoat things. You don't, like, I don't know, make things sound better. You bring Him everything. You bring everything to Him honestly and how they actually are, and He'll fix them up for you. You don't have to be perfect to go to the Lord. And so I went to Him, and I was like, Lord, I don't even really feel like talking to You right now. I don't even feel like I want a relationship with You right now. But I pray that You'll help me to want a relationship with You. And so after that week, I go home, and I mean, I'm just like on fire for the Lord, and it's been lasting this whole summer. But the other thing I prayed about was over there is I met this kid in my neighborhood, and he was an atheist, and he didn't know the gospel, so he didn't know anything. And that's what I was grateful for, because a lot of people will know the gospel, but they'll contradict it, and they just don't really want to believe it. But this kid hadn't heard about it yet. And so I remember we were all just, like, playing in the neighborhood, and everybody left, and I had been praying about this, so, like, give me the chance to talk to him about the Lord. And I was just sitting there with him on the swings. We were sitting on the swings, and I was talking to him, and I was, like, just telling him the gospel, telling him how much God loved him and that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for his sins. And that nobody's perfect. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. And I really told him, and he was like, dang, man, I didn't really know this. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you know what? You should come to church. And I'm still trying to get him to come. He hasn't yet because he's a little bit boring. But he did say that he believes that Jesus died on the cross for his sins and that He's accepted Him to His life. And, like, back then, he didn't really care. He didn't want to hear anything from me. But all he wants to do now is he'll just hand me a Bible, and he'll ask me, like, when we're alone, he'll ask me to preach to him. And so God has really given me a chance to, you know, witness to him, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm just grateful for being at this church, and thank you all.
Sophie, I don't know if I know many of you, but I got the privilege to go to, like, to everything, like teen camp, kids camp, BBS, and wonderful you. Abigail was the great lead counselor. She did a great job leading those kids. And one thing that just really stuck out to me this summer was, like, not, like, you don't have to, like, be perfect to come to God. You don't have to, like sugarcoat things. You just be real with Him, be honest with Him about just your life and everything that's been going on with you. And it's really what, like, stuck out to me the most this summer. I'm still thinking about it. And yeah, it was really fun this summer. Yeah, kids camp was amazing. I got to, like, just spend time with them, bond with them, have a relationship with them. And I thank you for that. So thank you.
Amen. Hi guys. I got the privilege to go to teen camp and kids camp this year. I went to kids camp, and I knew that I was saved, but I didn't feel like it. Like, I knew that I got saved, but I didn't feel like it. Like, I knew there was something missing. And I thought back to when I got saved, and it hit me. And when I was six, I got saved for the fun of it. I got saved because I wanted people to look at me and say, oh, she got saved, she's a believer in Christ. No, I did not believe. And I was at teen camp, and I think this was Wednesday night at teen camp. I went and talked to my counselor. I was like, hey, I don't think I'm saved. Like, I want to be saved. And she's just like, okay, let's go talk. And we went and we talked. And I was like, I really want to get saved. Like, I know I need to be saved. I got saved that night. And then the next night, like, I prayed Wednesday night, like, all night. I was like, I literally, like, I thank God that I got saved. Like, and when I got saved, my mind went straight to Jackson. I was like, he's not saved. I need to pray about this. So I prayed all night. And then the next night, when me and Megan were back on the way back to the rooms, and we were just talking about him saying, like, how he wasn't saved and how he needed to get saved. And we were like, if he doesn't get saved, God's going to do it soon. And then I woke up the next morning, and Megan was already gone. So I was like, oh, she probably went to breakfast. And then she got back from it, and we were loading up on the vans, and she's crying. And then she's like, falls asleep, and then she wakes up. And I look at her and go, wait, what happened with Jackson? And she goes, he got saved. And I was like, I knew it was going to happen. Like, I knew it. And I just thank you all for giving me the privilege to go to camp. Thank you.
She's prepared. We didn't tell her what to write. She did this earlier in the week.
Hi, my name is Isabella. I have a few words to say. I got saved 3 years ago by Miss Dorn. She took me out on the porch at kids camp. I said my salvation ABCs. I was so happy I felt different. This year at camp, I was really thinking about my Mimi. And there was so much going on, I could not really pray in the day. So each night, I would get in my bed and pray. I always felt a peace in my heart, and during the devotions, God was really showing me that even though it was hard to pray, he was always with me. Another thing that God showed me is that if you're trying to be like other people, you're not going to get anywhere in life because you're trying to make sure you're doing everything perfect to impress someone, or you're trying to make sure that you're being like someone else because you want to do that. But the Lord showed me you don't have to do that in life because I made you the way you should be. I wanted to thank the leaders because they did such a great job this year. This year, they had a lot going on. I just wanted to thank everybody who participated in kids' camp with helping out and paying for us from the cake auction, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Hi, is it your buddy? Is it your buddy? All right, we're going to bring her on this side so Mom and Dad can see over here.
Hi, my name is Alyssa Cochran. My favorite thing I learned was to not drown. My favorite thing at kids camp was swimming. I love the preaching. I wanted to thank all of the people who helped at kids camp. Thank you.
Hello, my name is McCoy, and I went to kids camp this year. My favorite part was watching my friend Carson get saved, and thank you, everybody.
Hey, my name is Deuce Cochran. I went to kids camp this year. I just want to say thank you for going to the cake auction and buying cakes, because it was my last year. And my favorite part, I'm not as holy as McCoy, so. My favorite part was my counselor giving us about foot-long Slim Jims. They were good. Thank you.
I think that's it. All right. You know, a lot of good testimonies. Some, you know, we get spiritual, then we get unspiritual, then we go back and forth, you know. But it's all funny. So one of the highlights of the summer for me is getting to go to kids camp and not have to run anything, not have to be in charge. I get to go have fun and sleep if I want to sleep, you know, sleep till 8 or 9, let them handle breakfast, then I'll come in, you know. But I also get to get yelled at. And that's a lot of fun too. I enjoy going in the kitchen getting yelled at. But just hanging out with the kitchen crew and everything, it's a highlight. We look forward to it every year. And this year was extra special. We had Miss Lynn back in there with us. And we're just chatting it up and we're having fun. And after we clean up or whatever, we're sitting around and we're just talking about this and, you know, this and that. And Miss Lynn will start talking about something. She'll go, "Oh, I'm just going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in my kitchen." You know, she'd point at the kitchen. And we just all look at each other and laugh, you know. Because Miss Liz pretty much the last person that's going to stay at her lane, right? We all know that. So she would say this from time to time. We'd just laugh, and someone would be like, "Miss Lynn, your lane is like this. You know, this is your lane." So anyways, she's still laughing, right? Okay. So anyways, we made up a T-shirt, and we're going to present this to her. And we're going to make these up next year for the whole kitchen staff. We're going to wear these. And it says, "I'm just going to stay in my lane, stay in the kitchen, Lynn Hubbard." So we're going to present this to her tonight.
That's not funny. Thank
you. Seriously, Jan? Miss Lynn, I don't know what size you were. Okay, we'll get that straight. I just guessed. I guessed low. I'm smart. I've been married a while. I guessed low. Okay, hopefully I'm... Okay, so Miss Lynn makes it a lot of fun, and we appreciate her coming. And she is the self-proclaimed oldest person that works at kids camp every year. Maybe we should give her a trophy for that one day.
I don't cook.
Right.
I wash dishes.
She's our dishwasher. That's right. That's right. We have a lot of fun, and any of you are welcome. I know, hey, any of these events we do, it's a lot of work, you know, and I know a lot of people just don't want to do it. You know, you just want to stay home, and you want to do your thing in your life, but I promise you, if you pray and you walk with God and you let the Lord lead you to get involved and serve, it's hard work, but it's very gratifying. Like, and you feel purpose, and you feel, hey, I'm doing something worth doing. I promise you, there's nothing worth doing more than investing in other people's lives, whether it's young people. Obviously, I feel like the most important people to invest in is the young people, all right? Because we gotta get them early. And it's just it's a blessing to be here, be the youth pastor. We just got a wonderful group of people, and it's a blessing and honor to work with all these different ones that I get to work with, and good people, you know, godly people that love the Lord. And it's been a blessing. And the Lord, I do think the Lord just put it kind of on our hearts this year. Just focus a little bit more in prayer. And I think through it all, He just was teaching me, hey, you got to be proactive. You can't afford to wake up and not pray. I don't have that option. You know, you wake up and just start your day and not getting, you know, in touch with the King, you messing up. You're gonna get slaughtered by the enemy. And I think that's the biggest thing the Lord taught me is get up. Get proactive, put that spiritual armor on, and get in the battle, because the battle's happening whether you're ready or not, you know. And we only got one option, and that's be aggressive. And if you'll be aggressive by seeking the Lord with a humble heart and a submissive heart. So, church, we love you. We thank you. Brother Tommy, you got anything you want to say?
Well, that was wonderful. I always look forward to seeing the pictures and hearing the testimonies. And I really believe that a week at summer camp, whether it be a junior camp or a teen camp, most important week in the life of a kid. I believe that from the time that I met the Lord. I really got called to preach at a camp. Didn't acknowledge it right away, but that's where it all began to kind of come into focus for me. And so I appreciate the workers, and I appreciate Chad and Stephen working with the teens and the kids. But I'm going to tell you, were it not for the workers that are underneath them, none of this would happen. And I appreciate so much those people that that do that just over and over and over. It's kind of what we refer to every once in a while around here as a shadow servant. And so good night tonight.